Tonight's speaker is another pastor friend here of Crossroads and has a wonderful church in Jefferson, Georgia. And if you need a hand, if you need a booklet, just lift your hand up. Our ushers are ready to go. They'll bring you a booklet if you forgot yours or if you need one tonight. All right, just lift your hand up and they'll get to you as quick as they can. His name is Pastor Keith Cudd, and he's from Jefferson, Georgia. He's been in the ministry a number of years and just loves the Word of God, loves the right division of God's Word, and is doing an awesome work there in Jefferson, Georgia. And his wife Jennifer is with him. Where is Jennifer at? Where are you at, Jennifer? Right here. And isn't it good to have Jennifer Cudd with us tonight? Amen? And so we're going to turn him loose. We're going to have Brother Keith bring our fourth message, and then we'll have one more tomorrow night. So, Brother Keith, you ready?
Amen.
All right. How many of you glad to have Pastor Keith Cudd with us tonight?
How much, brother. Appreciate you. Love you, friend. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. It's a great joy for me to be here, and I want to tell you, I love your pastor. Love him with all my heart, and you're so blessed to have Brother Dan here at Crossroads, and I appreciate you sharing him with me. And we met kind of online, and he's been kind of a mentor for me the last several years, and I've aggravated him to death through email after email after email after email. And so I'm sure that he's beginning to look and say, there he is again. Amen. I appreciate his help. Appreciate you guys. I fell in love with you guys. We visited here a few years back on vacation looking for a place to worship, and we stopped in here and just fell in love with you folks. You folks are so kind, so wonderful. We appreciate and love you guys, and we always look forward. This is the highlight of our year, really it is. And I appreciate my lovely wife. She's much better to look at than I am. And so I'm so glad she is here, and she is certainly the better half of me. No doubt about that. I'm glad. I've been married to her 27 years Thursday. And I'm excited about that. So that's a great blessing. Again, I appreciate the opportunity. I want to go to the Lord in prayer and invite him just to help me tonight. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the precious Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful church and for this great pastor. I'm so blessed to be able to have the opportunity. I'm humbled, Lord, to stand in the same place where, Lord, one of my heroes in the faith stands weekly. I pray, God, that you'll use me tonight to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to your people. God, I could do nothing without you. I pray, Father, that you'll strengthen our inner spirit tonight and help us to grow and be rooted and grounded in sound doctrine. And, Father, as we do that, Lord, we know that we can go out and face whatever situation, whatever circumstance that we may have to encounter out here in the world. I pray, God, that we will find help in these days, Father. I know I've found it already. I pray you'll continue to bless and encourage people in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I wonder, did anybody just perhaps, I want to just take a quick poll tonight. Did anybody here come to church tonight hoping and praying, longing for somebody maybe to sing something, pray something, or preach something that would absolutely discourage you? One up there in the, amen. Well, good. I won't disappoint you. Amen. Did anyone come here hoping maybe that somebody just knock all the wind out of your sail? Amen. Probably the same guy over here. Amen. Most of the time, you don't find people, except maybe here, that come to church saying, please hurt me. Please strip away all of my motivation for serving the Lord. I want somebody to discourage me. I want somebody to defeat me. No, we came here looking for the opposite, didn't we? Don't strip away my hope. Don't strip away my motivation. We came here looking for encouragement, seeking hope, desiring to be motivated for greater things in the Lord. I trust tonight you came here looking for help. And if I were able to share with you tonight a secret that would allow you to have hope in this world, that would help you to overcome being hurt in the ministry, would you want to know what it was? I believe I would. In a world that's filled with hopelessness and discouragement and defeat, if I could share a way with you that you could live your life every day and not lose heart and overcome those hurts, I believe we would all desire to be able to hear that kind of message tonight.
when Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, I want you to see that he was disappointed. He was apprehensive. He was physically ill. In fact, there was trouble everywhere. Many at Corinth seemed to be in full revolt against the Apostle Paul. Galatia was falling away to what Paul described as another gospel. Paul had narrowly escaped an enraged mob at Ephesus. Stress and strain had left their mark to the point that Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1:8, "We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, Paul certainly felt the stress and he felt the difficulty of ministry. And although he had been hurt physically, he had been hurt emotionally and certainly spiritually, Paul tells us that he found the secret to overcoming these hurts in the ministry. The secret to staying encouraged in the Lord. In verse 16 of our text here in 2 Corinthians 4, notice what Paul says. "For which cause," he says, "we faint not." In other words, we do not lose heart. Paul says he knows the secret to overcoming those hurts in the ministry, and he's going to share those with us in this passage here tonight. I want to show you for a few moments some truths that I believe that will help you to overcome hurts in the ministry, even when life becomes most discouraging. I want you to go through this text with me tonight, and let's find the solution together tonight, church, of overcoming those hurts in the ministry. In your booklet tonight, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 16, we see the confidence that Paul exerted. The confidence that Paul exerted. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul says again, "For which cause we faint not." Have you ever thought about that? What an amazing statement that is, church. That word faint refers to a failing of the heart. And Paul is telling us we do not lose heart. He's saying regardless of what comes his way, he does not give up. He does not give in. He does not give out. Now, this was from a man that experienced many hurts in the ministry. And yet he says, "I do not lose heart. I found the secret to overcoming those hurts in the ministry." Now, I must admit to you, it's pretty easy to lose heart when you've been hurt, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to get to that place where you're ready to throw in the towel, where you're ready to lay down those burdens of ministry, to just give in and to give up. And it seems to me that just from reading the Bible and what it says about the life of the Apostle Paul, it would have been so easy for this man of God to lose heart. If anybody had to overcome some hurts in the ministry, it's our Apostle Paul. I want you to go forward just a few pages in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 11 tonight. Let's go over to hold your place, we'll come back here. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want you to look at verse number 23. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23. Notice what Paul says. Love to hear those pages turning, amen? Amen. Scares me if they turn too long, but I like to hear them turning, amen? Verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now watch this, verse 28. "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." My dear friends, Paul had been heard in the ministry of the gospel, not once, but many, many different times and in many different facets. And yet in our text, Paul says, "We faint not." Now that little phrase there is in the present tense, active voice. And Paul is saying, yes, I have been let down. Yes, I have been discouraged. Yes, I have been hurt, but I do not lose heart. I do not faint. Now, talk about overcoming some hurts in the ministry. We saw in his resume here in 2 Corinthians 11, it's filled with one hurt right after another. Paul certainly understood a thing or two about overcoming those hurts in the ministry. Paul's testimony is, "I don't lose heart. I don't faint." Now understand, he's not bragging. He isn't claiming that he's some super saint. Paul had simply discovered a spiritual truth that enabled him to be encouraged even in the midst of circumstances that would have discouraged and destroyed and defeated many a ministry, many dedicated servant. So what was Paul's secret? I mean, Paul's life is anything but easy. Consider for a moment what he tells these Corinthians. Go backwards now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. I want you to see that Paul is so much like you and I. Look at what he said. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. Now notice this. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. I believe there are people here tonight who could relate to what Paul's saying, to what he's feeling in this passage before us. Paul says that he despaired even of life. That word despaired, if you were to look it up, it means the complete loss or absence of hope. And no doubt that Paul was experiencing here the hurts of the ministry. Paul was a very human man. He had moments just like we have our moments when those hurts seem to be more than he could bear. And indeed at this moment they were. And yet in spite of all of his trials, in spite of all of his tribulations, in spite of all of his burdens, Paul was able to come to the place in our text that he can say, I think not. I've found the secret to overcoming those hurts of the ministry. I may get knocked down, but you can be assured of one thing, I'm going to get back up. Oh, preacher, I'd love to be able to echo that statement. I want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I've found the secret to overcoming a wounded and hurting heart in the ministry. I've found the secret that allows me to say, I will not be discouraged. I will not give up. I will not faint. I will be encouraged. I will be excited. I will be energized about my life and about my walk with the Lord. I'll be excited about my ministry. Now, who doesn't want to know that secret? We all stumble with discouragement from time to time. Maybe you're here and you feel like you just, preacher, I just really want to stop. I just haven't got any more to give. You feel like you've given everything you can give to the ministry already. You're emotionally, you're physically, and maybe you're spiritually drained here tonight. You're running on fumes tonight. I want to share something in the passage. If you go back to the Old Testament, hold your place again in 2 Corinthians 4, but go to Psalm 55 for just one moment. I want you to see something because sometimes it helps me to know that I'm not the only one going through a trial or a burden or a situation. Sometimes it's comforting to know that what you're facing is not uncommon. You're not the only one going through it. And these things, in fact, have been going on for a long time. When we see the psalmist writing in Psalm 55 and verse number 6, I want you to notice what he said. Psalm 55, verse 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Man, what a profound statement. If we'd be honest, we'd all admit that at times we'd like to sprout a pair of wings and fly far, far away from the trials and tribulations and the troubles of this life, from the pressure of being in the ministry, and get just as far away from the hurt as we possibly can. Who among us hasn't experienced that in our lives and in our ministries? And while there are times when leaving the troubles and leaving the afflictions behind would seem like the best option, I am far more interested, dear friend, in reaching a place where I can say with the Apostle Paul, I faint not. I do not lose heart. I will not look back. I will not let up. I will not slow down. I will not back away. I will not be still. I know the secret to overcoming being hurt in the ministry. Listen, I believe that place is available to every one of God's children tonight. It was Paul's confidence. It can be your confidence as well. Secondly, in your booklet, notice with me, I see not only the confidence Paul exerted, but I see the conflict that Paul experienced. Look at verse 16 in our text, 2 Corinthians 4, in the latter part of the verse, for which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish. I want you to notice here the conflict Paul experienced. As I've already said, so easy to lose heart when we've been hurt in the ministry, isn't it? And the reason it's so easy is really found in verse 16, and Paul's identifying here a common struggle that we all face. Paul says, though our outward man perish. Now, the reason it's so easy tonight for us to lose heart when we're hurt in the ministry is that the outer man is perishing. The outer man refers to that fleshly part of us. It encompasses both the body and the mind. And the result of aging in the body and sin in the mind will conspire to strip away our joy and our hope and our peace of heart and mind. We're told here that the outer man is perishing. That word perish means to rot, to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. The word destroyed seems to fulfill the intended meaning here. We need to understand what's behind the destruction of this outer man tonight. And I want you to look in your booklet and notice one of the things that causes it is a fallen nature. The fallen nature. The whole natural world tonight is under the curse of God because of sin. Romans chapter number 8. Would you turn there with me? Romans chapter 8. Let's look at another verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 22. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 22. Now I want you to see that the whole world is under the curse of God because of sin. Notice what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8 verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, really, this is the source of most of our problems. It's simple truth. Every one of us tonight living on a sin-cursed earth. Adam sinned against God and the Garden of Eden. Now the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. That's the reason tonight you have natural disasters. You guys have hurricanes here. We have tornadoes up in Georgia. Accidents, sickness, pain. All those things are a consequence of living in a fallen creation. Now understand this tonight, church. We don't have tonight a supernatural hedge around us that protects us from those kinds of things simply because we're in the ministry and we're ministering to others. No matter what area of ministry you may be serving in, it could be a life group leader, pastor, missionary, an addiction ministry, some of you serving a grief ministry, children's ministry, music ministry, everybody that serves is susceptible to being hurt in the midst of serving God because you live in a fallen creation. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do people who serve in the ministry get cancer? Absolutely. Can a life group leader get diabetes? Sure. Do pastors have heart attacks? They certainly do. I had one 3 years ago in January. Do missionaries get involved in accidents? Had a missionary family this week, got an email from them. They were involved in an accident going home for a funeral, and they were involved in an accident. Do servants of God have their homes destroyed by natural disasters? Yes, absolutely they do. And when these things inevitably come into our lives, we have no escape clause that keeps us from being hurt. Life happens, and sometimes there are just setbacks. Now, here's the thing that we've got to understand. Those things did not happen to you because God's mad at you. Listen, God's not targeting you. He's not saying, well, you didn't perform well. Look, Pastor Keith, he didn't do so well preaching down there at Crossroads. I'm going to let his plane fall out of the air on the way back to Georgia. No. Now, that could happen. Won't be because God's mad, okay? No, listen, God hasn't somehow targeted you, dear friend. Things happen. We live in a fallen creation. Everyone in this room, saved or lost, is going to waste away and die. That's the promise in the Word of God. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that we live in these fragile jars of clay. One day that vessel is going to crack. It'll break. We're going to fade away. That is the nature of life. We get sick. We're susceptible to disease and distress. Ministry does not keep you from experiencing the result of living in a fallen creation. There's a second thing in your book that I want you to see, and that's fallen men. Fallen men. Another element in this world that causes us to lose heart, to experience hurts in the ministry, is other people. Now, here's the thing. If fallen nature don't get you, fallen people will. Okay? This is the one that most of us in the ministry can really readily relate to, but really it affects everybody, okay? This was certainly Paul's experience. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 7, when Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not us. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroy it. Listen, here's the thing. Fallen people let you down. Anybody ever let you down? Fallen people hurt our feelings. Did you know Pastor Dan has feelings? He really does. I almost made him cry the other day. Fallen people fail the Lord. Fallen people hurt us physically, verbally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it causes us to lose heart, to experience hurt in the ministry. In 2 Timothy 4:9, and this was a subject matter, of course, that Paul was so familiar with that he's writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. He's writing from a Roman prison cell when he records these words to this young pastor in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9. He said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, we know that at one time, Demas was Paul's fellow laborer. But now he's forsaken him. If you go down to verse 14, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much evil. In verse 16, he talks about, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he talks about all they that be in Asia are turned away from me. Paul had people problems, people who let him down, people who hurt him in the ministry. That's my experience. It's your experience too. It's easy to be hurt in the ministry. It's easy to lose heart when life and when people turn against you. It's easy to come to that place where you just want to quit, but you don't have to. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to become a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to go to church. You don't have to be one of those people who used to be faithful. You don't have to be one of those people who used to be in the ministry. You can reach a place where you do not faint. You can reach a place where, in spite of what presses you down, you can echo the incredible statement of the Apostle Paul, "For which cause we faint not." Now, I noticed the confidence Paul exerted, the conflict Paul experienced in your handout. Notice the third thing, the conquest Paul expressed. What we need, what I need, what all of us need is to come to a place that Paul came to. I want to reach that place that though our outward man perish, I faint not. I want to come to that place where when I'm attacked from without and from within by a fallen nature, by fallen men, I don't lose heart. I do not faint. I want to come to the place where, regardless of what's going on in me or around me, I can overcome those hurts in the ministry. And the secret to overcoming that hurt in the ministry involves at least three important realizations quickly tonight. I want to give those to you. Well, notice the 2 Corinthians again, 4:16, the latter part. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." How? Day by day. In your booklet, notice we must realize the need for daily refreshment. Oh, my soul, that's so vitally important, church. Paul reminds us that while the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day, the mind, the body are assaulted by the effects of sin and sinners. And as a result of that constant attack on the outward man, we are perishing. Every day, we experience heartbreak. We go through sorrows. We have pain. We have problems. And the effects of the sin curse upon this world affects you and I daily. Every day, we endure the problems that are attendant with living in a world that is filled with sin and sinners. The things we see, the things we hear, feel, experience, they all work against us to cause us to lose heart, to faint. They create those hurts within the ministry. The outward man is continually being destroyed right before our eyes, and every one of us can relate to that tonight. But while the outward man grows weaker and even nearer to the grave, the inner man is renewed day by day. I love what Colossians 2:10 says, one of my favorite verses. Paul said it this way, "And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power." If you were in Christ, do you understand that you lack nothing? Oh, my soul, man, I love that truth. I have everything that I need to overcome the hurts in the ministry already within me. Christ in me is an inexhaustible source for healing my hurts, to give me the strength, to give me the resource, to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Every day brings us unique problems, its unique trials, but with that is the measure of grace from the hands of the Father in heaven. I love what the Lord told Paul when Paul was struggling with a physical infirmity that he'd sought the Lord to remove three different times. God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what Paul did when he heard that? He turned around and began to rejoice in his infirmities, in his reproaches, in his distresses. Because sometimes the thing is, God's not going to change the situation. God's not going to change the circumstance. But hallelujah, God changes us. He changes us. The Lord is offering us a well from which we can draw every day. Drinking from that well assures the inner man he'll be renewed and renovated. He'll be refreshed. You need that time and fellowship with God, communing with Him in His Word every single day. Here's the second thing in your handout. Remember, our afflictions are temporary. Verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And notice carefully the language here that Paul uses. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let's examine that word light, because that's not how it feels when my trials are coming. I don't think, man, this is light. This is nothing. The word affliction refers to tribulation, trouble, and pressure, but the word light means easy. So Paul says the pressure he's under is easy. What Paul is saying is this: the problems of life that seem so heavy right now, that seem as if they will never end, the burdens that seem like they're going to break us, are really just weighty for the moment. He tells us that when they are compared with the eternal weight of glory that we're going to experience when we arrive home in heaven, we'll not be able to compare. Romans 8:18, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, there's nothing you're going through down here that will even compare to the glory that He's going to reveal in us when we get home. Listen, there's another thing that I see here in your handout. Notice, we must recognize the greater purpose. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is before a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul tells us that our affliction worketh for us. Wow. Friend, what an amazing statement. When things happen in our lives, we often look at them and think they're just meaningless. We wonder how anything that's so painful and so senseless and so tragic, how can it have meaning? But it does. Here's what Paul said in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate, be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So nothing that happens in your Christian life is meaningless. Some things appear to be that way, but they're not. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to share something with you. Any of you like biscuits? Man, that was a good biscuit. Where's the gentleman who made the biscuits? Is he in here? Amen. Man, I love good biscuits. My grandma made cat head biscuits. Anybody know what a cat head biscuit is? Amen. Y'all are my kind of people. Cat head biscuits. I love them with honey and butter and even molasses sometimes. Amen. Get me a good cat hat biscuit, and I love to get me some red eye gravy. Praise God. Let's take a break and eat. Amen. Listen, my grandma made cat hat biscuits. When she made cat hat biscuits, she used lard. Y'all know what lard is? She used lard. And she had this big bucket of lard, and she'd scoop that up and put it in there. And I personally never had any desire to reach in there and get me a big old spoonful of that. And man, that's good. No, I don't think it'd be good. Personally, never tried it. Don't think it would be good. Now, she also put buttermilk in there. Now, listen, I know some of you people, you drink buttermilk and just like it's water. Not me, friend. I'm not drinking spoiled milk for nobody. Okay, you can have it all you want to. Put it in my biscuit, but not in my cup. Buttermilk. She put that buttermilk. I personally don't like buttermilk by itself. Now,
Another thing that she put in there, she put in flour, and she spooned that stuff out in there, and I never had any desire to get me a big old spoonful of that and go, phew. Nope. I don't care to eat flour by itself. But I'm going to tell you something. She'd get all those things, and then she'd stir them up, work her hands. She'd get her hands in there, you know, and work that stuff out, pat them out in big old cat head biscuits, put them in the oven, and when it came out, see, here's the thing. I don't care for buttermilk. I don't care for lard. I don't want any flour. Man, I sure do like biscuits. Hey, man. You see, here's the thing I've come to realize is that all the things that are happening in my life are not meaningless. They have a purpose. And when God puts them all together, they're for my benefit. They give me a platform to be a blessing to somebody, to be an encouragement, to be a help to somebody. Paul realized his struggles carried with him a higher calling. One last verse that I'm done. Philippians 1:12. But I wouldn't... He says in Philippians 1:12, but you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, that so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Listen, here's the thing. How do we overcome hurts in the ministry? How do we not lose heart? We've got to understand these things are working for you. They're for your benefit. One day when life is over and you step out into time and eternity, you're going to be relieved of this light affliction of the moment, swallowed up in a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You have to make a decision whether or not you are going to choose to let that situation that you're in draw you closer to God or move you away from God. You can choose to let those things that are hurting you right now to make you bitter. But Paul said, I want them to make me better. Paul said, these things that are happening in my life, I'm going to find out a way that I can use them to be a benefit and be a blessing to somebody else. Friend, I trust that you'll take those hurts in your ministry and realize there's a far, far deeper purpose than you may even realize. There's somebody along life's pathway, God's going to let that hurt in your life be used to encourage and help them when they're struggling through a deep, dark place in their life.